sermon for today, this Sunday of Sexagesima, also the second Sunday before Lent, I'm calling To Be Good Ground. It's written by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr., late Metropolitan of the ACC. He first gave this February 7th, 1999. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I have an ancestor named Samuel Provoost, who was the first Episcopal Bishop of New York, another Dutchman like Calhoun. I feel that I can talk about him without appearing to brag, because by all accounts I have read, he was not a particularly appetizing fellow. History records, for example, that he hated Bishop Samuel Seabury, who was the Episcopal Church's first bishop. Provoost was plotting to run Seabury out of the church at an early general convention, but God smote Provoost with the gout and thus foiled his nefarious plans. One of the most distinguished histories of the Episcopal Church describes my venerable ancestor by saying, as a bishop, he made a good horticulturalist. That does put Bishop Provoost ahead of me, for as a bishop, or as anything else for that matter, I am no horticulturalist at all. Anything I know about growing things is something I have picked up from my study of the Bible. And of course, most of that information is metaphorical and poetic, rather than practical in any direct sense. When Israel moved into the Promised Land after Moses died, around 1300 or 1400 B.C., they began a gradual shift away from their wandering, animal-based economy to a more settled agricultural model. It is for that reason that we hear the prophets in the Hebrew Bible, as well as Jesus and St. Paul in the New Testament, using agricultural and planting imagery to talk about the things of God. For example, St. Paul's most sustained and direct teaching about the resurrection of the body uses an horticultural image. He says that the resurrection of the flesh is comparable to the planting of a seed. A seed has to go into the ground and die before it can sprout up as a plant and bear fruit. In the same way, we place dead physical bodies in the ground so that later, on the last day, they can blossom forth as resurrected spiritual bodies. Our gospel today uses an image taken from planting to describe the different sorts of responses people make to God's word. It is not the most difficult story in the world to figure out in the first place. As he does only rarely, Jesus goes on to give an explanation of what the parable means. The fundamental idea is that the Word of God is like a seed. A sower would go out with a bag of seed and toss the seed on the ground as he walked along. He did not place the seed carefully. He broadcast it instead. That meant that the seed would fall onto different types of ground, different in their likelihood of being a place where the seed might take root and grow. Seed that fell by the wayside, or fell on dry rock, or fell among thorns and weeds would be lost. Seed that fell on good ground would spring up as fruitful plants. Jesus is telling us that is exactly the way God's showing us in the world plays out. God sows the seed of his word in various different ways. He shows himself to us through the things that happen in our everyday experiences, both in the dramatic and in the not so dramatic. He sows his seed quite specifically through the church, in sermons and in sacraments, and in prayer, and in Bible study, and in our relationships with our fellow Christians. And the reality is that some people respond to God, and other people don't. Some people try to lead lives which are focused upon God and the church, Other people are lukewarm and half-baked in their commitment. Other people will get going with God, but then difficulties arise and they cannot sustain their faith. Others just drift away because they allow other things to get in the way. It is certain that Jesus wants us to try to be as good ground as we can possibly make ourselves be. That fits the pre-Lenten scheme of spiritual discipline. Last week we heard about the discipline of the athlete. This week we look at the cultivation of our hearts. Being good cultivated ground means being receptive, looking for God's activity in our lives, trying to understand everything that happens to us in terms of His unfolding plans and purposes, wanting the life-giving seed of His Word to take root in us and grow. What lies behind the parable of the sower is a passage from Isaiah. God is talking about the snow and the rain. They come down from heaven, but they don't go back. They have work to do on earth, which is to help produce food. In the same way, the Word of God comes down from heaven, but it doesn't go back either. It has work to do on earth. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my mouth be that goeth forth, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Don't get over my eye teeth. The seed, which is God's word, has a purpose, and the purpose is to help us grow up into fully mature human beings, to grow up into Jesus, what St. Paul calls the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wayside, rock, thorns, or good ground, it is all up to you. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as His most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.